Good morning, happy people. At least I hope you're happy. Welcome to the Naked Englishman on... Just looking at my diary now. What is it? The 20th of June 2025 at 7:15 in the morning. Sun seems to be up. Another warm morning, another warm night. And... this is the audio diary of my life, blah, 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 as you know. Well, let me plonk myself down for a moment, get my things act together. Julia and I are whizzing out to do a book launch at some point today to help, not my book, although my book is very close now. I have effectively the epilogue, I suppose, to write. It is the, I've got, well, I have one important scene to write, and then the epilogue, really. I think that's what I've got to do. So, and then that's that, done. Then that's done. So I don't know how long that will take. It may take a couple of days, or it may take 3 or 4 days. At the same time, Julia is still with going through the chapters with me, the ones that have been written and as best as I could edited, and then still finding little errors, spaces, two words similar next to each other, missing ats, or things like into as not as one word when it's one word, and onto, which is two separate words that a lot of people put as two words, but it, as one word, but onto is actually two separate words. And other words that I've inadvertently used thinking it meant one thing, or I've spelt it with the wrong meaning. I just want to have this tissue nearby in case I suddenly sneeze. So anyway, we've been going through all of that last night, and what do we have last night? Oh, lovely steak it was, lovely steak cooked up on the old Essie, and yeah, that was very nice whilst we were just catching up with a little bit of R.F. Delderfield from Post of Honour, which is the second book in the Horseman Riding By series. Now, I've finished reading independently God is an Englishman, which was a fascinating story, and I don't think when I started it I realised that that also was a saga. I believe there were supposed to be 4 books on that, and I believe there's only 3. I think because he died, he got ill and died at 60, R.F. Delderfield, which is, you know, being somebody who is going to be 62 next month, is a shocker, because I only feel like I'm in my 30s. I don't feel like I'm 60-odd, and I don't feel like illness is creeping up upon me or death is creeping up slowly upon me. He wrote and spent a long time writing, and he smoked and drank copious coffee, and they say that he died of lung cancer, but that may not be fully the case. So it's difficult to know exactly what the thing is. I think it says that on the thing, but of course they're very keen to associate smoking with lung cancer. But he did smoke rather a lot. And I can understand that when you're writing and in thought, and you're sitting at a typewriter, you often see these images, and don't you, and video footage of writers sitting there puffing away. I think what it is that it's an aid to concentration. Not so much the stimulant. I'm sure the stimulant part of the tobacco is part of it. Else why would you do it? But there is something about having, I mean, I sit there and sometimes I light my pipe and you're pondering, you see, The pipe does make you ponder. You're looking at the words, you're reading back what you've done, and you're puffing away, pondering, going, yes. So I can see that a writer on his own, and unless it's a very airy room, you're probably not helping. The thing about a pipe, as we know, is you don't take it down in the same way. You know, it's second hand, it's just what you've got in the atmosphere, so it's not so concentrated like an injection of smoke. And I don't think that's particularly helpful or beneficial, even though the book that I read about it was saying that, it was saying that it isn't as dangerous as it was saying, you know, it's not advocating for smoking particularly, but it's saying the question was, is it as dangerous? And obviously pipe smoking came out as incredibly safe, and cigarette smoking came out as relatively safe, depending on how many a day you have. If you're, and he was talking about people who have 60 a day. I mean, 60, you know, that's, who can afford that? If you're having like two or three bowls of tobacco a day, that's so marginal in the great scheme of things. And also, so much of it depended when you start. If you start in your teens, then it is likely that 40 years down the line, then you may find certain adverse effects from it. If you start in your 60s, it's unlikely, especially pipe smoking, it's unlikely it's going to cause much problem. And pipe smokers have lived long, long lives, plus the fact, of course, there is the nicotine aspect, which is primarily why I do it. It is because that we have these receptors in our bodies, and the nicotine is something we need, which we get from certain vegetables anyway. But it's also a disruptor to certain issues that we know about these days, like the vaccine, the dangerous vaccine, and the non-virus, whatever it was, that people were dying from during COVID, which I believe was actually injected into them as the flu jab. But that's another contentious view that I have no evidence on that. But I do go along the fact that if the virus doesn't exist, and we were told there was this virus and people were finding something, maybe it had to get there somewhere. How? And if it wasn't the airborne business, then it may well have been. I mean, I don't know if anybody's done a study to everybody who died in terms of, did they have the flu virus the December beforehand? So December 19, 2019, because that seems to be the likely culprit for a lot of the older people, because they would have gone and had their flu jab, and that would then taken a bit of time to react and could potentially cause an illness. I mean, this is a theory that came up, and I thought, well, that makes, you know, you, whenever you hear these things, you've got to give it your own validity. I don't know if it's true or not, but it seems more realistic. Anyway, sorry, big pause there. Can't remember where I was just trying to track back to where all of this got going. Anyway, I lost that train of thought now, so there you go. But so we've got to go off to this book launch, and then I've got logs coming tomorrow, which is very good. Looking forward to getting those in the garden. And stacked up. This time of year, of course, I do still burn the Essie every day, still fire it up and cook on it every day. And I was watching a video yesterday evening with old Father John from A Parson's Progress on YouTube. And he happened to mention, he says, oh, it's very hot here, you know, and he's living in a caravan whilst he's doing up this cottage. And he said, oh, it's hot up here in Shropshire, where he is. And he said, oh, my friend Richard Vobes, down on the coast. He said he must be absolutely boiling. He lights that bloody Essie of his every day. He said, you must let us know in your next pipe smoking video if you how you cope. And I thought, well, yes, I'll try and remember to do that. Yes, it is something we do. We do open the door. And actually, you get used to it, really. You just get used to it. It's not a big issue, as people think. And I've mentioned this to other people in the past when they say, oh, can you not cook on electricity or gas? And you go, well, I don't have any gas. And the only electricity means I have is this little immersion hob, induction hob. And it's a, you know, tiny little one saucepan jobby, which I bought for, well, one point was if we were camping, you could bring it out, and if you'd hooked up to an electric supply, you could use it, you see. But it also, it's kept in the kitchen. So, for example, last night we thought, well, we had some milk, and I said to Julia, let's have some hot chocolate, shall we, tonight? By the time we got round to it, the Essie had cooled down, and so out came the induction hob, and you're able to just do a one pan of hot milk, warm up the milk, and then have that, you see. So, but it's, I wouldn't want to cook a meal on it, because it's just tedious, you know. It's just one ring. And while you could get your steamer out with, say, three different veggies in them, you've got no oven and what have you, you know, all the usual. So, but it's an emergency. It's an emergency means of cooking, or in the daytime when I haven't lit the Essie, you see. But I like the Essie every day. Heats the water, dries the clothes, etc., etc. And you just get used to it, and it's not a problem at all. And it's lovely. I just absolutely love cooking on real fire, even though the fire is in a box. And it's nicely contained. And you see the fire, you see the flame. If you've seen my videos, you know you've seen it. You know the sort of thing. And yeah, it takes a little bit to maintain. I gave it a clean yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was the day before. Takes a little bit. You take the hot plate off. You open up the little stove pipe. Stick a brush up there with the hot plate, which unbolts. You then give it a good sweep round. Dust it all off. And then there's another little access hole behind a little door where a lot of coke has formed, and you can hoik that out. I've got this very long strip of metal that comes with it, a stainless steel with a 90 degree bend on the end, and I suppose it's like a little shovel thing, or a little, it's like a rake actually, and you rake from this slot all the coke and the, you know, various other bits that formed from the smoke, you see. Pull that all out. Yeah, it's a bit dirty. You just make sure you've got gloves on. And it's not necessarily dusty. You know, you're not like you see in these. It's not like cleaning the chimney. Now, that is a different job. And I'll do that once every year, once 2 years, something like that, depending on the type of chimney you've got. Give that a very careful clean, because you don't want to, in the house my age, you don't want to destroy too much of the render with a very aggressive brush. And actually, the soot, it will cling onto that, and yeah, it does block it up a bit. But you soon knock that out, and it comes down, and away you go. I didn't do that. I have that to do. Must do that soon, actually. It's a job when you've got a bit of time, because you've got to cover a few things up, and with the Essie I've got to untake a something plate, like a chimney plate, and it's a piece of metal that fixes to part of the chimney just where the stovepipe goes through. And you know that on top of the other side of that plate on inside the chimney will be a huge collection of dust and various things, sometimes bits of rubble from the chimney itself, and whatever's dropped into the chimney, which birds sometimes drop things in, that's fallen down and it just hits this sort of chimney breast plate. So that you have to remove that very carefully. And that's when you get a bit of dust and what have you. So a few old dust sheets out and bin liners and things to catch it all in. Then up go the extension brushes. And very gently you clean out the chimney. You don't need, as I say, you don't need to be aggressive. All you're really doing is clearing the hole from any coke and build up. Fortunately, the one in the kitchen is very straight. It's just straight up. There's no, sometimes some chimneys will have little, I don't know, 20 degree angles on them, whatever it is. Especially if you've got a front room. So the front room chimney will have that, because you'll have in the chimney breast two flues. You'll have the flue from the upstairs fire in my house and the flue from the downstairs. And they'll go up, converge, may converge into one, or they may be two separate flues all the way up. And then that's where, when you have a bend, you get a collection of soot that gathers and whatever other detritus that sort of gathers up. And that's where you know, you've got to be a bit more precise with your brush. But with one in the kitchen, it's just straight up, and it's easy peasy, really. And that's why I've not really had any issues at all with it. It's been great. So yeah, that's the Essie business. So I'll have to get onto that fairly soon. I've been thinking about today's video, and it's a bit of an odd subject, really. Unless, of course, I am alerted to something that else needs to go out, or I suddenly think of a different subject. Of course, it's. But it was based on something that happened yesterday, which is an insignificant thing in and of itself, but it made me think a bit more deeply. And I did think about fleshing out the idea in The Naked Englishman, but then it gives you no excuse to go and look on the video. And of course the video needs to be shorter and more precise than the rambling nonsense that I sit here and come up with. So so two different things, two very different things, mediums, although you would think they're pretty much the same, aren't they? But it is funny, when you haven't got to worry about the visuals and you are only dealing with the audio, you are talking much, well, I think more sincerely to the listener. Not saying I'm not sincere in the videos, but there is I think because you can see the person on a video, on a device, there is a separation. Whereas when you play audio, whether you're listening through headphones or out loud on the speaker of your phone, there is a sense that the speaker, the talker, the person intonating, is actually in the room. There's a sort of sense of that. You can't see them, but it has the same feeling, I suppose, if you had somebody sitting on the sofa but you weren't looking at them. You know they're there, or you can hear them. Whereas a video within a frame on a desk is a bit more like, well, these days, like a video call. You're watching someone and you know that they are remote. Whereas the audio somehow feels closer, more personal. And also, I think the style of the audio generally, especially in a podcast like this, which isn't scripted and doesn't have the presenter's voice, you know, the sort of, hello and welcome to another episode of, etc. because you can be much more relaxed, much more yourself. And of course, time is not so critical, although you want to keep it within a certain parameters, of course. But and as I do, I allow within this recording thinking time. And as I've mentioned before, you know, this is like a first draft of many ideas that I have. And those thoughts may develop in a completely different direction. And so it's much more ponderous on occasions, as you know. I don't need to tell you, do I? You listen. But I think that's a very important distinction. And if I could, my preference, if one could earn a living from the audio over the video, then I would do it. And I enjoyed when I ran the Vobe show as a audio only podcast back in the day in 2005. It was that, well, because the pictures are in the mind of the, you know, the theatre of the mind, isn't it? The pictures are in the mind of the listener. And therefore, you can be more subtle, you can be more creative, you can, a bit like mime, in which they say you can create a universe within 2 square feet. In mime, again, everything is suggested by your performance and your technique. You don't need props and you don't even need voices. You can create the illusion, a very visual world. And audio is the other end of that, isn't it? It's, again, one can create a world and adventure and stories and stuff by suggestion of sound effects. Sometimes realistic sound effects, but sometimes just comic, man-made. And you can still suggest those adventures and you know what it's about. And I think this is where my videos coming into now, my thoughts, is it's about that area of disbelief where you suspend belief and you enter into a different fiction. And that's kind of, I'm getting into what I want to talk about now. So I'll stop. But that's the difference. And if one could not have to deal with video because of all the other businesses about lighting and dressing up and, you know, the set that you're in, you can create all of that in audio. But sadly, and I think audio is much more intelligent, it's an intelligent form of thinking in a way, and receiving. But which is why podcasts, that they call them on YouTube, work very well. Of just talking heads, because you don't have to watch anymore. You can just put them on and you're effectively listening to the audio conversation. You don't really need, and you can strip out the audio from the video and just have it as a podcast, an audio podcast. I'm waffling on, but that is one of the beauties of it. And also, of course, as you know, you can do other things at the same time and go, Willie, bloody well, stop talking. For goodness sake, I've got to get on. As indeed I have. So thank you for listening to this, and I will no doubt catch up with you tomorrow. Until then, take care. Bye for now.